Welcome to The Wolf Den, the podcast about the business and people of podcasting. I'm your host, Lex Friedman. I'm also your friend. And today, our guest is Jody Avergan. Hi, Jody.
Hey there.
But that's not all. He's not our only guest. We also have what I like to call not just guests, but additional co-hosts on today's Wolf Den from Grace Church High School in downtown Manhattan. Please welcome Harrison Goldberg and Brody Pontarelli.
Hi.
Did I nail the last name?
You did.
I was a little nervous about it. Could you see?
You're 3 for 3 on last names.
Well, Goldberg, listen, I'm a Friedman.
That's an easy one.
I can handle Goldberg. So let's start, before we dive in too deep, because I know our listeners are wondering, what the hell is that trio of people doing there? Before we get into it, let's do everybody's, you know, top three segment on The Wolf Den, shows we're jealous of. This is where we highlight shows that we don't make, but that we kind of wish we did, because that's how much we love them. Jody, you're up first.
So show I'm jealous of. My colleagues at 30 for 30 have been recommending this to me for a while. We're working on a project for next year, and they've said, this is our main inspiration. This is a great show you to listen to. This is something we should take our cues from. And it's a show called Ty Asks Why, and it's from the CBC. Are you aware of this?
I'm not.
So it's an 11-year-old kid. His name is Ty, and the show is just about his curiosities. And he goes through the world and interviews people and just asks great questions. And, you know, I listened to it finally after the recommendation of my fellow producers, and you know, I couldn't really find exactly what we could borrow, because where are we going to find the world's most precocious and intelligent 11-year-old? But there are also other great things about the show that I really love from just a radio production standpoint. It just moves really effortlessly. I can't say that word.
You know.
It just moves really smoothly from segment to segment. And
so smoothly, you might call it effortlessly.
Yeah, that is correct. That's how you would characterize it if you could use words that had more than three syllables. But I don't know. I just really love it from a listening experience and also from a radio production experience.
Very cool.
So that is Ty Asks Why.
So my rule with The Wolf Den has always been, when we finally get Jody on, I want somebody else on whose name rhymes with Jody. So that would be you, Brody. One. So Brody, what's the show you're jealous of?
So I'm a big sports fan, kind of like Harrison here. So one sports podcast I love is Pardon My Take by Barstool Sports. It's just a really laid-back podcast that has a lot of comedy in it. And I think that's something we're trying to follow with our podcast. So that's a podcast I really look up to.
That's a great show. It's a good show.
It is.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
And Harrison, how about you?
Well, I'm a big Islanders fan, and there aren't many podcasts about hockey in general, but then to only focus on the Islanders, that's great. So I like the Isle Seat podcast. It's on SoundCloud, and I listen to it. It comes out about once a week. So,
you know, the funny thing is that comes up all the time on this show, as the show people are, that's not true. But that's a really good suggestion. I have to have one,
great
too.
Punny name.
Yes, yeah. It is good. It's funny. I sometimes recommend against punny names for podcasts in general, because you're going to hear that pun every week, every time you do the show.
And have you gotten sick of it yet?
Not really.
So there you go.
I have.
I'm not saying I give good advice. Thank you, Brody. I appreciate that. I'm going to go. This is an old show. It came out in the beginning of this year from the New York Times. To go with the New York Times podcast is a little bit cliche. Of course they're good. They know what they're doing over there. But Change Agent. I hadn't heard of it when it came out. I heard of it late because I don't know where I was. But Change Agent is the first episode is kind of, I feel like, the greatest way to describe it. But they take somebody who's an expert in a thing, and they take somebody who's got a problem, and they see if the person who's an expert in a thing that has nothing to do with that problem can apply their techniques from that thing to solving the other person's problem. It's bizarre and bonkers. The first episode is called Self-Control. It's a woman who's effectively a shopping addict who buys way too many things. And it's a couple who teaches you how to hold your breath underwater for an extremely long time. And so the reporter goes through and does the experience of holding her breath for a really long time, and then tries to teach those techniques to the shopping addict person, and maybe it helps a little bit. No spoilers, but what a fantastic show. It's a short-run series. You seem to already know about it, Joe.
Yeah, no, I liked it. And the Times, yeah, they just keep making good stuff.
They do. They do. Well, Harrison and Brody, you are students at Grace Church High School. What year are you in?
Both sophomores.
That's 10th grade.
10th grade.
By my calculation. You're working on a project for school. What the hell is it? Am I allowed to say hell to 10th graders?
Yeah, you are.
Okay, so what's the project?
Do you want to go?
Yeah, so basically all 10th graders at our school get a year-long project called March Madness. So when I first came to the school, obviously a big sports fan, I thought that would be something to do with basketball, but it's not.
Seems like a slam dunk that it would be.
Yeah.
See what I did there?
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
So you can basically,
as the official ESPN representative here, I'd like to just put a cap on all of these sports metaphors.
That's fair.
Carry on.
So basically, you can choose anything that you're interested in to focus on a year-long project. So the two of us decided that, obviously, we're both huge sports fans, so we wanted to do our own sports podcast.
Makes sense. And so how did you end up in this room? How did you end up here on the Wolf Den?
Yeah, so we were thinking about...
Brody talking now.
It is. We are required to talk to an expert in our field throughout the course of our podcast.
Thank God Jody's here.
I know. So we were a little bit stuck on how to really get an expert to talk to us, so we just decided to start reaching out to podcasting companies, and luckily you guys responded, and now we're here.
So. How many other podcast companies wrote back?
I think this was the only one.
Couldn't get to those, pardon my take, guys. They're a little tough to reach.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to try to facilitate an intro over there. Remind me. Okay, so you decided to do your project about podcasts. I'm assuming that means that you like podcasts. You're excited by podcasts. Why is that, Harrison?
I've always liked to listen to podcasts, and just really I've always had an interest in going into the sports field in general when I'm older. And I think that that's great that our school gives us the opportunity to not only do academic stuff, but that we can study something that could potentially be something we do down the road.
And what app do you use to listen to podcasts?
Normally SoundCloud.
Okay. And what are some other shows you like? You mentioned a couple, but what else are you listening to?
I also listen to Pardon My Take a lot. We're both big Barstools fans. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to fit 45-minute episodes into the school week, but...
I'm going
to
do your first lesson, guys. When you're in the room with Jody, you also love 30 for 30, right?
Like, love
that goes without saying.
It hadn't even occurred to me that he would answer that way. I was genuinely curious.
No, it's a good answer. And Brody, what do you like about podcasting?
Well, I get distracted very easily, so being able to do work while also just having something in the background really helps me just calm down and study. So I like being able to just... listen to a story in the background while being able to do work. So that's why I love podcasts.
And as someone who makes podcasts, I just love hearing that I am the thing deep in the background.
Yep.
While a sophomore is got 15 tabs open on his screen. And
I'm sure our teachers that listen to this will like that too. Yeah.
Are you going to get graded on this podcast appearance?
Not on the appearance, just at the end of the year we get a grade for the project overall.
Then I'm going to take a moment just to talk directly to the Wolf Den listeners. Wolf Den listeners, this is me, Lex. Your host, your friend. If you are doing something else while listening and not paying full and complete attention, I'd like you to press pause right now. Don't be a Brody. Be a Jody.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Turn the lights off.
So, you guys are clearly naturals. You've listened to a lot of podcasts. You like the space. Do you want to do an intro for Jody to kind of intro him as our guest on the Wolf Den?
Haz does the intro, so I'll leave it up to you.
All right, sure. Now, here we have from ESPN's 30 for 30 podcast, Jody Avrigan.
Very good.
Is that the last name?
Yeah, you nailed the last name. That's all that matters. Good.
Terrific.
That's how I grade most of my interviews on the show. Yeah. Did I get the names right? Harry will tell you. He comes to me with pages of prep. We talk about it, and I'm like, how do you say everybody's names again?
It's the only thing
every
that matters.
Time. True, right? Harry's nodding. Well, that was good. So we did shows we're jealous of. So we're going to dive in. You guys can chime in with follow-up questions, ask Jody anything you want. I'm going to try to tee it up a little bit, and then you guys ask whatever you want. So Jody, how'd you get into podcasting in the first place?
I come, as I think a lot of podcasters do, out of public radio. I mean, a little further back from that in high school and college, I did documentaries. I was very into film, and I did documentaries in high school. And then in college, I was a film major. I did documentaries, my thesis. And then I started to do that a little after I graduated from college. And I realized a year or so into it that the sound in my films was terrible. Mm. And I started to think about ways to improve the sound and to try and get some advice on how to get better sound. And I thought, well, radio folks probably know how to use a microphone and get better sound and fill this out. And so I started to do some radio reporting and just start to talk with some radio folks. And I quickly fell in love with radio. And I, you know, think it's the better medium and have continued since there. And
I want to push you on that for a second.
Yeah.
What makes it the better medium?
I could get like pretty philosophical here about the power of radio. Look, at some level, I think that because there is no visual element, that audio is a transaction and a partnership and a collaboration between the person making it and the person listening to it. At some level, when you're listening to something, you have to do a little bit of work in order to complete the picture, so to speak. You have to, at the very least, imagine what the people you're listening to look like. And then in some other cases, when you're listening to something that has scoring and sound design and so forth, you know, you have to do some work to paint that picture. A film, a television show, which you know, are wonderful mediums. I enjoy them. But, you know, they kind of present you with everything you need, sort of.
They
and
ask
it's there.
Of you.
They fill, yeah, or they ask a different kind of thing of you. They fill all of the stimulus, basically. Whereas, you know, there's something big missing in our medium, which I think is a wonderful opportunity for listeners to then kind of like fill that in their unique way. And that's the other thing that I really love is every listener has a different relationship and they're painting a different picture in their head.
It's why I think that so many of the best non-scripted podcasts are hosted by writers.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that it's, to me, podcasts, this is maybe a very dumb sentence, so we might edit it out, but I feel like podcasts are the closest non-reading/writing medium to reading and writing. It's
right.
Because it's the same thing. When you're reading something, you've got to do all that same work of visualizing the stuff in your head.
Yeah.
And I feel like podcasts are the same thing, but it's for when you can't read because you're listening instead.
I mean, the other thing I really love, and I know I gave you a little bit of a hard time, Brody, earlier about doing it while you're doing other things, but that's actually the beauty of it, is that
yeah.
This is something you can do while you're doing your other things. And it doesn't mean you're distracted. It actually means that our world, our medium of audio has somehow worked its way into someone's routine, which is like the best thing you could actually ask for as someone who makes something is, oh man, I'm there when you're walking your dog, or I'm there when you're brushing your teeth, or I'm there when you're up late at night doing something else and you're in this, your sort of private space, and I get to be part of that. Like, that's pretty awesome. It's not like, oh, people walk into a dark theater, the lights go down and you watch my play or my film, or people sit on their couch and you watch my TV show. We're like in those nooks and crannies of people's lives, which I really love.
I love that. Do you guys have questions about podcasting, about 30 for 30 specifically, anything on there?
Yeah, I mean, we did write some questions.
Go for it.
All right, I'll start with, is there a story from the 30 for 30 documentaries that you want to cover on a podcast?
So 30 for 30 is a film series that has been going for about 10 years now. And then for a couple of years now, we've been doing an audio offshoot of that. And we early on tried to do, I think, a little what you're getting at, which is, can we take some of the films and repurpose them for audio? And we realized that that doesn't really work, that audio is, as we've been discussing, a different medium. It needs different kinds of stories. So we've been doing original stories in the audio space, which I think is worth sort of clarifying. And it's been really nice because I will get to an actual answer to your question. But one of the cool things that I really love about our job is that we sit in a room and an idea comes in and we can have a conversation about, is the best fit for this story as a film or as a podcast or as some collaboration of the two, a long series, one-off. We can just kind of find the best fit for the idea, which is really nice. I think more and more I want to do stuff that feels like it's the films and the podcast are coming out together and telling the same story. I think we're going to do that next year and beyond. We're already looking at stories where we can say, okay, the film can take on this part, the podcast can take on this part. Looking back at the last 10 years of 30 for 30 films, I was a fan of 30 for 30 films long before I was ever handed the keys to the podcast. You know, there's some of my favorite documentaries, period, in that series. So, you know, I really walk around feeling like our main job is to try and reach the level that the films like, obviously, O.J. Made in America is in its own category. But, you know, even The Two Escobars is probably my favorite 30 for 30. There's a film called June 17th, 1994, which is all archival, which feels like almost a radio piece in that sense, that it's just working entirely from archival. So I don't know. I definitely, you know, as you were getting at, I definitely look at a lot of the films and say, we want to kind of do stuff that's in this spirit.
Yeah, and you talked a little bit about the documentary series and how that's been mm-hmm. going for a while, and it's really, really popular. Were you nervous at all when you started the 30 for 30 podcast about living up to those expectations?
Not from a popularity standpoint. I mean, I frankly knew that we were being handed a brand that had a built-in audience, which is really great. But from a, oh, crap, I really don't want to ruin this beloved series perspective. And so it's really been about, as I said, trying to just like live up to those standards. And then also, frankly, take cues from the film series, which I think, let me put it this way. And I have often heard our show described as, this is like This American Life, but for sports, which is a very wonderful thing for people to say. That's, I think, the best radio show in history. But I would actually rather think of it as worth 30 for 30, but for audio. And there's something in that distinction that feels important to me, that we're really trying to take on what the films have done, which is, you know, I'll articulate that distinction. I think that the films have really been story first. It's like find a great story, often historical, often something that was popular at a moment and now people have forgotten, and just do the job of telling that story A to B to C to D and trust that the big ideas will be there and the other stuff will be there. Whereas, you know, I think a lot of other public radio that I come out of and a lot of other podcasts, it's more like narrator first, idea first. Here's the kind of thesis and the things that I want to say, and the story helps me get there. Our job is really like find a killer story and then trust that if you just dive into the world of that story and let it ride, all those other bigger things will just naturally find their way in.
Awesome.
So I want to actually follow up on one piece of this. You mentioned that I've heard that comparison too, that it's like This American Life, but for sports. I hear you that you'd rather it be 30 for 30, but for audio, I guess it's a two-parter.
Sure.
What makes sports do so well in audio? Why does the medium work so well for audio? Because I think it does. And then two, how do you handle the challenge of, like for me, I'm a football fan. It's the only sport that I really pay attention to. And more specifically, and this year more painfully, I'm an Eagles fan. It was not so painful last year. But to watch, you know, I'm sorry, guys. I am a
Patriots fan, so.
Did you see the Super Bowl last year? It was great. But yep. How do you get me to watch or listen to an Emmitt Smith documentary if I'm like an Eagles fan? So why is the medium so good? And then how do you make it, even if it's not the sport or the athlete that you're the most focused on, that you want to pay attention to the story anyway?
So those are related, actually, the answer to those two, which is it's particular to what our 30 for 30 approach is, which is, yes, we're about sports. I would say we're like sports adjacent. You know, our job is really to find stories that are in the world of sports, but really teach us something bigger. So we very rarely, we never do a story that's like, oh, that cool thing happened on the field, or, oh, that athlete was really great. We have to, you know, we have to ask, so what? You know, what is the lesson for culture in general? What's the lesson for maybe sports in general? Was this a turning point in someone's life or in a community's life? You know, that's what we're really looking for, is the moments that feel like they have that bigger resonance. And so that's where I feel like, if you're a particular fan of a team, if it's about some other team, you know, that plays a part. I'm not trying to ignore that you wouldn't want to watch an Emmitt Smith documentary, but if Emmitt Smith teaches us something about larger society and larger culture, then, you know, I think that's what we're there to offer. In terms of, you know, somewhat related, in terms of why I think sports is a good medium for audio and just storytelling in general, is a couple things. One, I really do think sports is one of the last places where we as a society can sort of hash out some of the big things that we have to deal with. And, you know, that's both competition, but it's also race and culture and tribalism and cities and rivalries and, you know, performance and achievement and disappointment. And all those things are built in to sports. So it's like, if you want to talk about the human condition, sports is a pretty good place to start.
Yeah.
The other thing, somewhat related, but is like any good storyteller wants stakes. Right? When you tell a story, there need to be stakes. Well, sports has like pretty clear built-in stakes. Someone's going to win. Someone's going to lose. There's going to be a score. There's going to be changes in scores. There's going to be twists and turns. Someone's going to get cut. It's just there. Like, we've told a bunch of poker stories on our podcast, which I love because they have that intrigue or whatever. But one thing they have is like literal stakes. Like every couple minutes, you can be like, someone's going to win $1 million and someone's going to lose $1 million. You don't have to do that much work beyond that to get listeners to be like, oh, I get it. Like, there's something going on here.
I love poker episodes.
Yeah.
Guys, you have more questions on this?
Yeah.
Or anything related?
I mean, something that we've noticed, and we've only recorded 3 episodes so far, but it's obviously not easy to stand out from other podcasts. And as a 16 and 15-year-old, it's hard to really get an audience. So what do you think, like, helps a podcast stand out? What could we do to stand out? And how do you grow your audience?
I mean, I'm sure you have answers to that as well. You want to go first?
Sure. I mean, it's the hardest thing, I think, in podcasting. I think one of the easiest thing in podcasting at this point is getting started, right? You can get we're in a reasonably fancy studio right now in New York City, but you can also get a USB microphone for under $100 and start recording and sound pretty good. So getting good audio quality and capturing that is good. To get audience, you've also got to have two things, I think, quality and luck. If the show's not good, it's not going to work. So I'm positing already that you've got that already. We're going to stipulate that the show is great. So at that point, it's not just strictly luck, but it's all the things that you would think of that make sense for marketing something. It's the, you know, I'm What a dumb analogy. I'm in an improv group in New Jersey, and we had our end of year meeting last night, and we had to talk about what we're going to do to get audience. And there's like all the easy things are you're going to tweet about it, Facebook and Instagram and YouTube channel, and have all those things so that you can do as many things. But that's talking to people who already know you, right? Because they're already following your social accounts. So the next question becomes, how do we reach people who aren't already aware? And the answer for an improv group is, you know, ads in the newspaper, reaching out to other theater goers or other theater people around the state, whatever it is. In podcasting, it's you got to find other people, ideally who are already converts to the medium, people who already know how to listen to podcasts and know how it works, and get them aware of your show. That can be getting guesting spots on other podcasts. Nailed it. It can also be, you know, cross promo, whether it's, you know, literally buying spots on other podcasts or just reaching out to everybody with a sports podcast and be like, hey, if I mention your show, will you mention mine? Now, it's going to be harder for you to get a show that's, you know, an ESPN-sized show or a Barstool-sized show to do that. But if you can find other shows that are also on your side and start trading that, it builds up everybody because probably people know about their show and not yours, or yours and not theirs. So to me, it's the assuming you've got the quality there, the marketing is the hardest part. And there's no, you can't just straight luck into finding an audience, but it's got to be the right timing. And it's got to be the you know, you've got to find ways to reach people who could listen and tell them, be aware of the show and start listening. But what's your take?
No, I mean, I'll highlight one thing you said at the end there, which I think, I feel like the very first thing I heard when I started to get into podcasts was like, people find out about podcasts from other podcasts. And it's become sort of conventional wisdom, but it's actually totally true still. So as much as I think you're smart, Lex, about marketing budgets and social and paid promotions and creative, you know, newsletters and YouTube and all that stuff, I still think the most magical thing that can happen is to go on another podcast or have another podcast where that trust between that podcast listener and that podcast audience is already there, and then have that person say, you should go listen to this show. You know, I like this show. And they point their audience to you because you're starting there from an audience that then has already, they've bought into one person, and now that person who they trust and they like is telling you to go to somewhere else. So I also think podcasting is just incredibly collaborative. And so I would urge you, and I think it's just smart, to find, as Lex was saying, the other podcasts that are like your peers and do a lot of cross promotion. That's too clinical, cross promotion. Do just have conversations, make friends, be collaborative, work together, and then your audiences will kind of grow together. It's not a zero-sum game at all, even at the level that we're working at. You know, I've still found podcasting is still small enough and collaborative enough that, like, the ESPNs and the Earwolves can play nice with each other, and 100%. They're not going to eat into each other's audience. And certainly, you know, at your level, I would definitely, like, think of it as a rising tide lifts all boats, and the easiest ways to show up on other podcasts. I will not take it as a given that your quality is there. Like, that's really important. The show needs to be good. And especially for a show like yours, chemistry is just the most important thing in the world. And so, and chemistry is one there when you have it, you guys are friends. It's, you know, let that translate, but also you got to get your reps in, you know? And so someone like, you know, I think some of the best chemistry.
So the ESPN guy is allowed to use sports.
Yes, I'm allowed to use.
Just one.
But, you know, I think some of the best chemistry in podcasting is this ESPN show called Jalen and Jacoby. I was big fans of theirs before I showed up at ESPN, so I can say this. Those guys just logged the hundreds and hundreds of hours together. I mean, they're both incredibly compelling personalities on their own, but together they just spent a ton of time and they got their reps in, and over time they built that chemistry. And so I would just say for you guys, and it seems like you're doing it, but just put in hours and frankly put in hours that people don't hear. Do a bunch of shows that are just pilots or just trying stuff out.
If you finish an episode and it wasn't good, you don't have to release it. You can say, you know what, that wasn't good. Let's
like
do it
again.
Like
this one. No one's going to hear this one.
Now, it's a really good answer. I'm sure you guys have more questions, but as you know, podcasting is a business. Do you want to throw to the break for me?
Go ahead.
This is Brody.
So that was our conversation with Jordi Avergan. Now we're going to take a little break.
That was really good. Harry, just so you know, as we start this ad, it says that I should refer to these points as notes, not a script, that I should say whatever I think will sound natural and help convince my listeners to try the show, like sharing my own perspective if I'm a fan or if I'm friends with the host or if I've been a guest on the show.
Well, you're off to a great start.
I'm not friends with the host. I don't know them personally. I haven't been a guest on the show, but I am a fan. Do you know what the show is?
Is it Homophilia?
It is Homophilia. You know, because you're the one who gave me the sad copy.
That's true.
But it's 2019, which is a brand new year by my count.
Mm-hmm.
A fresh start. How about you make listening to Homophilia one of your New Year's resolutions? Do you make New Year's resolutions?
I do.
What are you resolving?
Well, not to listen to Homophilia, because I do that already. It's such a fun show.
So you're not resolving to not listen. You just don't have to resolve to not listen.
I just, that's a, be a waste of a resolution, because right. It's already something I enjoy doing.
Homophilia is a queer comedy party where hosts Dave Holmes and Matt McConkie grill LGBTQ celebrities on what they're loving and who they're loving. They have in-depth and hilarious conversations about everything from their pop culture obsessions to deep talks about their guests' personal experiences. Why do you listen, Harry?
Well, as a homosexual gentleman myself, it's nice to have some perspectives from like-minded folks on a comedy network such as ourselves. I think it's a really great ask. Also, I think that Dave Holmes is like the most charming man in the entire world.
Outside of you, Harry.
Oh, thank you so much.
But just in 2018, they had Jesse Tyler Ferguson telling his story about shoplifting gay porn. We've all been there. Matt Rogers of Las Culturistas talking about losing his virginity to the manager of a clam bar.
True.
Karamo Brown from Queer Eye talking about marriage and then proposing to his boyfriend weeks later. And they had sex and love advice guru Dan Savage breaking down being monogamish. Monogamish. I caught a bad case of monogamish once. You can check out Homophilia now. It's not just in one place. It's literally wherever you listen. So that could be Stitcher, it could be Apple Podcasts, it could be some other app. But Homophilia is available wherever fine podcasts are consumed. Should we spell it, or will people figure it out?
Let's spell it.
There's a PH in there. It's HOMOPHILIA. Are you going to listen?
I already do.
Okay, perfect. Hey, Harry, guess what?
What's that?
In 2018, guess how many episodes Earwolf published?
Well, we did about 25, and But I think there are other shows on the network.
There are a few. Do you think it's more or less than 1,000 episodes?
More.
Do you think it's more or less than 1,500 episodes?
More.
Do you think it's more or less than 1,800 episodes?
More.
You're wrong. It's 1,785 episodes. That's over 1,591 hours. That's 66 days worth of podcast listening.
Oh boy.
Since you probably don't have that kind of time, all of the hosts and producers here at Earwolf, almost all of the hosts and producers here at Earwolf chose their favorite episodes of their own show this year. And we made a playlist just for you. So you can go see if your favorite episode made the cut and check out some new shows. What better place to start than the very best episodes of the year of all your favorite Earwolf shows? I actually looked at this list, which I'm going to give you the link for in a second, and there are some fabulous choices. Like, to see what Gethard says is the best Beautiful Anonymous or what Scott says is the best Comedy Bang Bang, they're not wrong. They know their shows very well. So here's what you do. You go to earwolf.com/picks, that's P-I-C-K-S, to see all the selections. Again, that's earwolf.com/picks. All of these episodes are out from behind the paywall. How cool is that?
Very cool.
And Stitcher Premium members, we still have a perk for you. There's a special version of the playlist just for you. Just search Stitcher for Earwolf Pack Picks 2018. Thank you all for a great year of great podcasts, and we want to hear your favorites. Tell us your favorite episode of 2018 with the hashtag Earwolf Picks. If it's an episode of The Wolf Den, you earn nothing but brownie points.
And we're back with Jody Avergan.
Yeah. Nailed it. So do you guys have more questions for him from the your list you want to go through?
Sure. So let's be honest. We Googled a little bit about you.
Okay.
And we saw that you had to fight a little bit for the 30 for 30 podcast. Can you talk a little bit about that and how you had to convince people to
to do it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a fight. I will say, I promise you, I'm not just being good employee here. Like, we are very well supported, and this is a priority for ESPN, and all the right people are enthusiastic about it. And so, it's really great. And I've been in situations in my life where I have not felt that way, and this is one where, for the moment, knock on this wood table, I feel very supported. You know, I think the fight for it was along the lines of what I was talking about earlier, which was there was not a sense of what it needed to be at first. And when it first started, it was this notion of, hey, Jody, will you come over and help us kind of figure out how to turn the films into audio? And we did that. We actually ripped the audio from a film. I spent a weekend working with the producer, cutting it up and trying to make an audio version, audio only version. And in the back of my head, I was like, well, we'll do this. This is an interesting exercise. I think it's worthwhile. But my hope is that we'll do it, listen to it, and say, you know what? This doesn't work. We should go all in and try something that's original. And we're going to have to hire a production team. We're going to have to kind of do this all in. And that is what ended up happening. So there wasn't really a fight there as much as it was just going through the process to realize what it took to make this stuff. And I will say also that that's been happening in a larger sense at ESPN, I think in podcasting in general, that for a long time and for a lot of people, especially in the sports world, podcasting is thought of as two people get in a room and they talk about sports. And Some of my favorite podcasts are that. But this is something different. This is basically audio documentaries. And I don't, it's a sort of highfalutin sounding word, but I do try and say that to distinguish it from podcasts. I think there's been just a little bit of work that we've had to do within ESPN and in general to kind of show people, no, this is stuff that takes months and months and months and a lot of, you know, money and time and editing in order to do right. And so it's almost like that's the advantage of working with the films folks, because the films folks, the notion that you would spend months or a year working on something is totally makes sense. Oh, yeah, you're going to fly around. You're going to interview people. You're going to look for archival. You're going to spend months editing this. A lot of people are going to be involved. That's natural. And so you know, a lot of my work has been, think of this more as a short film than as what you have in your head as podcast. And so that's been the fight, such as it is.
So one thing that, you know, in our most recent episode, we got a guest on, and we saw that certainly helped our views and listeners. So do you recommend getting guests? If so, how often? Obviously, you have to have some episodes, just the two of us, but do you think it's helpful to get guests, especially for us, since we're just starting?
Yeah, I mean, it's similar to what I was saying before about showing up on other podcasts. You know, it helps just expand your audience. You never know how someone's going to find out about you, but it's got to be someone you want to talk to, right? Again, at every given point, the main thing people are going to connect with or not connect with is whether it's a good conversation, whether they have an affinity for you, whether your enthusiasm shines through. So it should mostly be people you want to talk to yourselves. And then if it's someone who happens to have a following that they'll bring, you know, to your show, then that's always helpful.
You know, I don't even think there's a downside to having a guest often. If you're worried about making sure that you guys have your own rapport with the two of you, they don't have to be there on the whole show, right? You can start the show where it's just you and then they come in a little bit later. You know, but my first thing that was really any kind of foray into podcasting, which ended up with my working here in this role, was a show I co-hosted with a guy named Dave Wiskus called Unprofessional. And we would interview, it started out, we were interviewing Apple app developers because that was the world I ran in. But we would interview them about anything other than their day job. So we wouldn't talk to them about technology. And after a while, we wanted to kind of have guests that were, we wouldn't interview them, we'd have conversations. Dave would want me to clarify. But after a while, we wanted to try to get guests that were even more well-known. And so I reached out to a nerdy musician who I loved, Jonathan Colton, and convinced him to come on the show. And Jonathan Colton then meant that I could go and ask John Flansburgh from They Might Be Giants to come be on the show because he was friends with Jonathan Colton. If Colton did it, he would do it. And so then we kept asking people who we were excited to talk to, and we got a lot of people to say yes, even though our show was nothing major. And then we made a mistake. I reached out because his PR person reached out to me. I was like, sure, we would love to have Governor Jesse Ventura on the show. Now, I don't know how familiar you are with Governor Jesse Ventura, who was a former professional wrestler turned governor. I don't think he was great at either thing, but he was not the right person to have on the show. We had nothing to say to him, and he had plenty to say, just had nothing to do with our show. Mostly, he ranted about how all elections are rigged. And how it was time for like a coup in this country. And we released the episode because it was good tape, but it wasn't a good episode of Unprofessional. So I think I say all that story, one, to brag that me and Jesse Ventura are best friends, but two, to say, I don't like him at all, but two, to say that I think that Jody's right. You got to have the right guest. If somebody you're going to be intimidated by, that'll come through and it'll be awkward for them. It'll be awkward for your listeners. So somebody you have a rapport with, who you can feel comfortable with, and you kind of work your way up to guests so you don't have to feel as intimidated otherwise. But if you can't talk to them in a way that's going to feel right for the show, then I don't think it's worth it. But otherwise, you not just want to have them on the show, you want to make sure that they're going to tweet about it too, right? They're going to share it with their followers and, you know, their friends so that you're using it to help grow the show. Like you said, you saw a spike when you had a guest on. And if you need Jesse Ventura's email address, just let me know.
For sure.
Those were your questions?
Yeah.
I also wanted to ask Jody real quick about Ask Roulette. I believe that it's currently on pause, right?
That's
it's
correct.
Now a newsletter.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Tell us, what is Ask Roulette?
Oh, man. Ask Roulette was a live event series. I'll take one step back and say that I'm always trying to, you know, I've often had a job, and then I always try and do a lot of stuff on the side. And Ask Roulette was sort of my ongoing side project for a while when I was at WNYC. And it's a live event series and has a podcast version where strangers come up on stage and ask each other questions. It's a very sort of simple conceit, but basically there's a stranger on stage. Someone comes up. That stranger asks that person a question that they had sort of determined in advance. They talk for a while, then one person leaves, the next person who just answered stays on stage, someone else comes on, and it's just this chain of questions and answers. What I really loved about it was that people would come in with their questions in advance and not know who they were going to ask their question of, so it was just this marriage, an often very magical marriage of a question and an answer, and then there was just sort of this chemistry. And it's kind of what we were talking about here, which is you get someone in a room, and I mean, we're social creatures. We have these serendipitous moments of connection, and this show was like my way of kind of setting that up. And we did it for a couple years live at often here in New York City and had a lot of fun. And I'm actually sort of in the back of my head scheming about ways to bring it back. But, you know, maybe we'll do that at some point.
So it could come back, though.
It could. We'll see.
All right. Good. All right. So, Brody Harrison, anything else you want to add before we move on to the next segment?
No, I think that's it. I think we're right. Yeah.
That's another great. If you don't have anything to say, just
it's
move
totally
on.
Okay. You don't have to fill time, right?
That's now, the beauty. Sorry, I know.
Please don't go.
That's
for
the
it.
Beauty of podcasting, though. You don't have to fill time, right? If you were on the actual radio, you'd be looking at a clock and be like, "Oh crap, I have 7 more minutes to fill." Okay, I'm just gonna, you know, talk about the Islanders, who no one likes. Why would someone like the Islanders? Whereas here, a podcast is just as long or short as it needs to be, and they
and
move on.
I would even say, aim for it to be as short as it needs to be. There are plenty of long podcasts. The average commute time, I know your friends aren't all necessarily commuting, but the average commute time is something like 20-something minutes for most people in the U.S. And if people are going to listen in the car, you want to give them a podcast that can fit that time. Now, listen, I'm going to listen to every minute of, you know, an hour, I was going to say a show, but I don't want to throw it under the bus for being long, but an hour or a 2-hour long show if I love it. So no matter what, I'm going to listen. But there are too many long podcasts, and the tendency of any podcast in the world, if you look at it, is to get longer over time. At least for non-produced podcasts, right? For chat show style podcasts, they overall get longer and longer and longer, and they don't have to. So it is okay if your show is short. It's okay to have a clock up, which we sometimes do, but today I just knew what time we had to end by. And if you see a 30-minute countdown, it doesn't mean you have to stop at 000, but it can kind of help you pace the conversation. Hey, I'm at 15 minutes. I should be at the midpoint now, or whatever it is. Yeah. I say all that knowing this is a long show, so I'm just putting that out there. So a lot of podcasters, including Brody and Harrison, listen to and sometimes guest on The Wolf Den. And I always ask the guests to share some broad piece of advice. Now, this whole conversation has been advice, but if there's one other thing, Jody, that you want to leave aspiring podcasters, whether high school aged or older, with, what's one piece of advice you think is really useful to up-and-coming podcasters?
Have good music.
How come?
I don't know. It's just so simple, but it makes a huge difference. It ties into one other larger piece of advice or something I think about a lot, which is, I'll put it a little callously, but like if you have a good opening and a good ending, you can kind of get away with a lot in the middle. If you just like are a place where people feel good about entering your world, whether it's your show or your documentary or whatever, and then you just nail the ending, there's this thing called the sunk cost fallacy, which I don't know if you've learned about yet, but it's basically like a social psych principle that when someone has committed to something and done something, then they're going to justify having done that because no one wants to feel like they did something and committed to something or paid for something and then it sucks. And so if you buy a vacuum cleaner or whatever and the vacuum cleaner sucks, you're going to tell yourself that vacuum cleaner is better than it actually is because you just paid X amount for it. Podcasting is kind of the same way. Like when someone gets to the end of a podcast, they're going to look for reasons to want to like it. And if you just nail the ending, I think they will kind of like write a story in their head backwards and be like, yeah, that was great. Like I felt good at the end and that was really compelling. That doesn't mean you should also not strive. You should strive to be compelling throughout. But I just think there's a power in like really good music at the top, nailing your ending. And, you know, that goes a long way.
And it's, you know, when you were talking in the beginning about starting in video and how the audio is the weakest part, I also think you can, I'm with you that audio is the medium to be in, but you can lift up the quality of any video with great audio. And that includes soundtracks, right? So before I had an HD camera, there was a time before I had kids when I was entering all kinds of video contests online for no reason. This was an earlier day of the internet. It was not pre-YouTube. It was like YouTube adjacent, just as YouTube was starting. And I kept winning contest after contest with like using my computer's built-in camera, but I had great soundtracks for the things. I had great audio, and that's all the difference. I think that's good. Do you guys have advice? You're several episodes in. You're making a podcast. You listen to a lot of podcasts. Do you have advice for up-and-coming podcasters that you want to share?
Yeah, like Jody said, I think the main thing is just build camaraderie between us. I mean, we've been friends for almost 2 years now, and we spend a lot of time together, and we know like what each other's cues are, and we've learned that about each other. And I think that's something that's made our podcast a lot better than if we just decided at the beginning of this year just, you know, we both like sports, let's make a podcast. So
what's your recording setup like?
It's not great. I mean, we have good microphones.
Two mics, though.
Two mics, yes, two mics.
And you're in the same room, you're looking at each other as you're
recording. We are looking at each other as we record. Yeah, so it's good, but I mean, obviously it could be better. We get a budget from the school, so we've been using that. But
yeah, I think just building a camaraderie between us and us being friends has helped a lot with just our cues and stuff on the podcast.
Harrison, do you have thoughts?
Yeah, something I've noticed is at the beginning, you know, we were really excited, especially our first episode and whatnot, but then we posted on SoundCloud and got 7 views. So is not to get, like, first off, discouraged by that, and also just not have your hopes so high that you're going to post your first episode and get 5,000 views or whatever. I think you have to slowly pace it, and we've seen our numbers go up each episode that we've recorded, so I think that's helpful.
Yeah, and I think that also leads to the advice that I like, which is keep doing it, right? No podcast that you stop is going to get really successful. So now that all three of you have shared advice, I think it's time for us to answer one more question, and this one is going to come to us from Zach Kahn in the Wolf Den Mailbag.
Wolf Den Mailbag, don't be happy, don't be sad. Now just sit back and enjoy this week's Wolf Den Mailbag.
Oh, thank you, Casey. So this week's question comes from Zach Kahn. He works for Vox, a partner of ours, and podcasters extraordinaire themselves. Zach asks all of us to name 3 people who we think should have a podcast but currently don't. I have spent no time thinking about this question.
There are people who don't have podcasts?
Apparently so. Jody, anybody you can think of who should have a podcast but doesn't?
That's a tough one. I really am having a hard time thinking of people I like who don't have a podcast.
It's fair.
There's people who've gone to TV who should come back to podcasting.
Yes.
Are Desus and Mero going to keep doing their show? I hope so, because that was also the best podcast in addition to being the best TV show. I have a friend. Oh, here's someone I think who should have a podcast, who's a friend, but I'm also a fan of his before he was a friend. This guy, Jim Hamblin, who's a writer for The Atlantic. Very funny guy. Did one of my favorite video series ever called If Our Bodies Could Talk, sort of like a funny health show. And there are not enough good health podcasts, and he's very charming. And so I think he should have a podcast.
I dig it. Brody, any thoughts on this? Who should have a podcast but doesn't?
Yeah, this is a radio guy who actually works for ESPN, and I love him, Dan Le Batard.
Sure.
I think, especially with Stu Gotch, they have a radio show together, and I think they're really, really funny together and do really good interviews, so I think they would be actually really good together on a podcast.
And actually, just this week, I will say that the Dan Le Batard podcast network was announced, and so there's going to be like mini network.
Did you guys script that?
They stole your idea. There you go.
I'm in it.
But there's basically a little... That show is just this crazy fever dream of a circus. Like, it's the most bonkers show. It's fantastic. And they're going to take their little world and build a little podcast network within ESPN and have some of the other personalities have their own shows. And Dan's going to do a sort of long-form interview show. So, yeah, it's cool. That's a really good one.
How about you, Harrison?
Yeah, I can't say I'm 100% sure he doesn't, but another ESPN, I would like Scott Van Pelt to have one. If he doesn't, I'm not 100% sure.
And I'm not 100% sure either. I mean, he's busy with SportsCenter, but he's also a great personality. He does that midnight SportsCenter. Do you actually watch that?
I do, but I'd rather be able to listen at a normal hour.
Do you watch it DVR'd or are you watching it live?
No, I watch it live, which my parents don't love.
Yeah,
I
need some sleep, Harrison.
We're up doing work the whole time.
You're a growing boy.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so the question asked for 3. I'm going to try 3. I tried to eliminate easy answers, which to me was like Barack Obama, who I think would host a great podcast. So here are my 3. Number 1 is the humorist Dave Barry, who was one of my favorite writers and stopped writing his column years ago, and it made me sad, and he is just very funny. And like I said, I think great writers make great podcasts, so I'd like him to do one. Another writer who I love, who I think would be really well-suited to the medium, is A.J. Jacobs. He's written a ton of books. One of them is, like, he did The Year of Living Biblically, where he decided to follow the rules of the Bible as close to verbatim as possible. He loves doing kind of fun social experiments on himself that he then writes
about. And he had a podcast with Gimlet for a while, but he does not anymore. Yeah.
And it wasn't the right show, I don't feel like.
Yeah.
So, an A.J. Jacobs podcast that feels like A.J. Jacobs.
Very charming person.
And then, you know, a month or so ago, we launched a podcast with Conan O'Brien here, and he took to it so naturally, not surprisingly, and he did what I think some late night show hosts have been hesitant to do, which is make it an original thing. It's not repurposed audio from Conan's TV show. It is an original Conan podcast. I think every funny late night host who has so many not scripted conversations but structured conversations that have to fit in a certain format, that have all the things we talked about not having here, like rules about timing and what they can and can't say and how they have to structure it, take that mastery of that skill that they've honed over years, they've gotten all their reps in, and put that into a podcast where they can have a longer, free-form, flowing conversation. The way Conan's doing on his show is fantastic, so Seth Meyers should be doing it. Jimmy Kimmel should be doing it. Jimmy Fallon should be doing it. Trevor Noah should be doing it. Everybody, Samantha Bee should be doing it. They're all, like, perfect for podcasting, and so I expect and hope that they all will. If you have a question for the Wolf Den mailbag, you can email us at wolfden@midroll.com with your question, and we'll do our best to answer it. For a long time, that email address was broken. Now it's not. All right. So that was everything we have to cover except for one last piece of business, which is where can my listeners follow you online? Harrison and Brody, where do we find the podcast?
So we're on SoundCloud right now. And
the show's called?
It's called After Further Review.
That's a good name.
Good name.
Yeah. So we're on SoundCloud. You could just search After Further Review, and then
pending on iTunes.
Nice.
Yeah, we're trying to get that set up. And then on Twitter, at After Further, and then it'll say After Further Review, and you'll see it.
Pro tip, you should call it Apple Podcasts instead of iTunes. They prefer that, just so you know.
Yeah.
And do you have any other social accounts you want to mention or no?
Yeah, we're also on Instagram at after.further.review.
Got it. And Jody, where can our listeners follow you online?
I am relatively active on Twitter, so you can find me there. Jody, J-O-D-Y, Avirgan, A-V-I-R-G-A-N. My website has like all the links to that and some of my favorite work that I've ever done. And I occasionally post pictures of a cute 2-year-old on Instagram if you want to
find
me.
Are you related
to the two? No, it's just the one that I'm just following around. Yeah.
I learned from your website that you have a cool middle name too.
My middle name is Troy, T-R-O-I.
T-R-O-I. Yeah. Check that out.
Yeah, so it's Jody with a Y, Troy with an I.
Well, thank all of you for your time. I also want to thank Harry Nelson and Jared O'Connell. The Wolf Den Mailbag theme is performed by Casey Holford. You can subscribe to The Wolf Den at earwolf.com, Stitcher, or Apple Podcasts, and you can rate the show in your favorite app. Thank you all for being here, and I believe this is the very first show of 2019, so thanks for kicking off the new year in a great way right here on The Wolf Den.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Want to hear Earwolf pilots before anybody else? We made a podcast feed just for you. Earwolf Presents is full of great stuff, like preview episodes for upcoming shows, peeks behind the paywall, and pilots for podcasts that haven't even been made yet. It's like getting to listen in behind the scenes here at Earwolf. Starting January 21st, Earwolf Presents will have a bunch of new pilots for you, like Edgar Montplaisir's The Wokest. Catch conversations between the wokest man in the world and comedians like Risa Lechea. Also, hear upcoming pilots The Florida Cast. Wow, you're Native American too? This Week in Sports and Carl Alarm all throughout the month. Let us know what you think of them with hashtag Earwolf Presents. Subscribe to Earwolf Presents to hear more great episodes from around the network and behind the paywall, like an episode of Drew Tarver's Strictly Business with Derek Contrera, or Act One of Matt Besser's punk musical, Stolen Idea. Just search for Earwolf Presents in your podcast app and subscribe so you don't miss an update.